Welcome to the King's Chapel Alaska podcast. From wherever you are listening, we are so excited that you tuned in today. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word.
Amen. You guys can be seated. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here, and so grateful to all the pastors that are here. Words would fail me just to express and to honor each and every one of you. I'm so grateful. Thank you, pastors, Daniel and Karen, for having us here. Thankful for my wife for being here. Last time I was here, I had a beard. I don't know if you guys remember that. It was a glorious beard. But I began to realize something, that as I had the beard, I didn't have as many kisses from my wife. So, you know, I put two and two together, and that's what I have here today. And we're actually celebrating 23 years of marriage, and this month. Actually, why don't you just go ahead? I know you stood before, Heather, but why don't you just stand one more time? And just so grateful. An amazing woman of faith. She's a woman of just worship and of the presence of God, and I just wouldn't be the man I am today if it wasn't for you. I'm so grateful for you. So thankful. And, you know, I could just go on with each and every one of you, Pastor Josh, Pastor Shannon, Bishop Hooks, and Pastor Rob. I mean, these are all my heroes. So grateful, so honored to be here. And Master Prophet David Fang, you're amazing. Absolutely love you. Absolutely love you. Let's just pray, and then I'm just going to get into the Word just for a moment. Father, you and I talked about this night, what you wanted to do, what you wanted to say. You love these people so much. You love this state. And the things that you want to do in and through this place are amazing. And Father, I ask that you enable me to be faithful with that which you have entrusted in my heart. That I'd be faithful in being able to communicate that in a clear way. And Holy Spirit, I don't say come because you're already here. We just simply acknowledge your presence. Amen. Just move freely even now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, just Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Pastor Gil, if you could help me with that thing we talked about for a moment. That's cool. All right, I'm going to just read this. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. It says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ." I just want to talk tonight about knock, knock, who's there? In fact, before I get started, I just want to ask a volunteer. It could be a couple people if need be, but... And ushers, if you could help me just bring a chair just to put in the square right here. I'm just asking for somebody that's here tonight and you have pain in your body. Some just pain, whatever. I'm just asking you, if you wouldn't mind, you can sit the other way. You don't have to face everybody. I'll just put you this way. But if I could just get a volunteer, just somebody that is, you're sick or you're in pain right now, just asking you to just go ahead and come on up. It could be more than one person, if you don't mind. We'll just sit right here. Thank you. Thank you. It could be more than one. That's fine. We'll get another chair up here. You don't have to do anything. You just hang out. All right? It's going to be awesome. I guess they'll bring chairs and we'll just fill up this right here. It's going to be okay. It's going to be good. All right. So Jesus makes this one question. And he's asking his disciples about who he is and what people say or who people say that he is. And the important thing here that he's wanting to do is he's wanting to establish his identity of who he is. Everything rests on who Christ is and how we see him, because that determines what we do and who we are and the nature of who we are. And so if the nature of Christ is the nature of the church, so what we see in him is what is should be in us. It defines the very nature of Christ. And he asks that famous question, and Peter answers, and we know that it's that revelation from the Father, and he says that you are the Christ. And then he says this thing, he's like, you are Peter, and he does this little play on words. You're this little rock, you're shifting sand, or depending on how you interpret even his name. And he says, but on this rock, I will build my church. And then we come to this kind of the really the crux of the whole thing. What does he mean by this rock? And some people say, well, he's talking about Peter. I'm going to build my church on Peter, and I'm giving you the keys to heaven, and whatever you bind and will be loose, or whatever you bind will be bound, and whatever you loose will be loosed. And others say, well, it has to do with the confession of who Jesus is, that he is the Christ. And on that reality, the church is built. But I want to offer just one other thing that just defines a little bit of what Jesus is doing. I want to look at geography for a moment here. Because the place where he's at, and we're told, is Caesarea Philippi. Now, this is a region. This is an area that is known for some. In fact, in that area, there's a mount called Mount Hermon that's about 9,000 feet high. It's a famous place. As far as we come back from, even in the Old Testament, it was known for something. We begin to realize that, and actually some people even there believe that that's the mountain where Jesus, where the transfiguration happened, which happens right after this declaration. It is a place where giants ruled. It's a place where King Og was at in Joshua. We hear about him. It's a place where fallen angels came. It's a place where evil ruled, where hell was at, where the domain of Baal was placed in that geographic location. It was known for that. It was a place where King Jeroboam built idol worship, and he built a center for idol worship. It was right in that region. It's where cities adopted Baal worship, and even in the time of Jesus, it was a time there was worship there of Panias as a god. The god of Pan, you know, but in Spanish that's bread, but it's a different Pan that we're talking about. And it was known for that. In fact, it was known in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 13, that area is called Bashan. It's known as the gates of hell, is known as hell. And I want to propose to you that when Jesus is speaking about what he is intending to do with the church and how he's building the church, he comes right to the place where darkness itself dwells. It is known as the gate of hell. I mean, this is the gates of hate. This is the place. It is known for that. Remember that man that was demon possessed with legion? This is the area. This is a whole area that is that. It is known for that. In fact, other literature from other pagan cultures actually know it for that place as well. They say this is the place where evil spirits are. This is a place where demons roam, where they rule. This is where darkness is at. This is where it sets its home. And this is what I love about Jesus. Because he goes right directly into the darkness itself, and he stares it in the eye. And he says, this is the place on this rock, on this very place, that has been known for something where there's darkness, where hell has reigned, where the devil has done whatever he's wanted to do. This is a place where demons come, and this is where they live. This is the gates of hell will not prevail against what I'm doing. And this is the very place where I'm going to do it. And it just boggles my mind because, you know, the transfiguration could have happened in Bethlehem. It's the place where he was born. And you could say, man, that's the place where he's going to, you know, something beautiful in the church is there going to be birthed. He could have gone to the valley where David defeated Goliath. And he said, on this place, in this ground, this is where I'm going to build my church. But instead of that, he walks up to darkness itself, the very place that is known for centuries and centuries is known for that. This is where the stronghold of the devil is at. This is where fallen angels just walk and do whatever they want. He walks right up into there. He gets into Satan's very backyard, and he says, in this place, right here, right now, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is what he's saying. He's saying Satan can't do anything about it. A lot of times when we read about the gates of hell will not prevail, we think of it as the church taking a defensive stance. And like, we're just wake up and like, I wonder what the devil's going to do today. I'm going to read the news and see what's, oh man, it's darkness is out there. You know what I mean? And it's just like, what's happening today? And then we're always like in this defensive posture. But I want to submit to you that gates are not an offensive weapon. They are defensive. And if the gates of hell will not prevail, it means that it's the church that's taking the offense against Satan in hell. It means that when we wake up, Satan should already be having a heart attack. He should be having a headache going, what is going to happen today? Because there's nothing that he can do that can prevail against God's purpose and what God wants to establish in and through the church. It's right there in the darkness. We don't cower into a corner. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to go right into the darkness itself, in the very pit of hell if necessary. And we say, right here, right now, there's an open heaven. Right here, right now, oh, God's going to do miracles. Right here, right now, God is going to demonstrate his power. He's going to flex his arm. And it's right there. And he's saying, look, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But I propose that there's a second meaning to that as well, because it was at the gates in the cities where things were established. It's where business was transacted. It's a kind of small courts claim kind of thing would happen. Judgments were come to, and it happened there at the gate. In fact, the word ecclesia was often used for that. If they needed to come together and come to an agreement on something that was a legal binding agreement. Many times they say, we need to do an ecclesia. I need people right now to come up here and we need to come to an agreement on this issue. And it's a binding issue. And we're going to come into agreement right now. And this is what we're going to establish. And what we come into agreement here will be established. It'll just be set. It affects everything. It's right here in this area. I want to propose that there's two things that happen right there. That whatever the enemy has decreed will not prevail. In fact, just think of this with me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. When Paul mentions heavenly places, it means there's something. There's nothing higher than this place. There's no authority that's greater than this place. There's no power that's greater than this place. It is from this place that you and I have been blessed. Part of that word blessed means spoken well over or speak good things. God the Father has spoken every good thing he could actually imagine. He's not swallowed any word. He's spoken it out in you and being in the Son. In Christ, we have this, right? We've been blessed with every spiritual good thing that the Father can speak. It's ours. And it comes not from just the earthly realm. It comes from the heavenly places, right? So even in the Old Testament, what God blesses, you can't curse. You can't. You just can't. To say that somebody can override, that means that there's a higher authority and a higher power than God's throne in the heavenly places. So you and I have already received every good thing, been spoken over us, being in Christ, in our union with Christ. This is ours right now. And there's nothing that hell can say that will prevail against that. Nothing. The other alternative to that, or the other flip of the coin, or side of the coin of that, is that whatever we decree and we say, Satan can't resist. Can I just say something? You are too powerful to be quiet. When you come together and you pray early morning prayer, and I know sometimes you're half alive, right? And you're just like, I'm just here, right? But just being here actually is making a declaration. Do you realize that when two or three gather together and they agree as a touching one thing, it'll be done by my Father? It means that you have come and you've met the minimum requirement to establish things. Shouldn't it be that when you and I pray, that we expect to see it in the news next week? That when you and I pray, that things, even in government and as a nation, begin to shift, and it's because you and I decreed something. And what we've bound has been bound, and what has been loosed has been loosed, because you and I have the keys to the kingdom. And we know what the heart of the Father is. And instead of saying how dark everything is, we begin to declare light in the midst of darkness. We begin to get very specific even with our prayers, because and we know that it's just leading the things to where it needs to go and the direction that it has to go. Whatever you bind will be bound, and whatever you loose will be loosed. We break the oppression of the enemy. In fact, in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it talks about how Jesus was anointed by the Father with the Holy Spirit to heal those who were oppressed of the devil. The word even there, oppressed, means that they had, he had dominion over those people. And Jesus came and he breaks that dominion that Satan has over them and looses them and frees them. Healing is about breaking the dominion of the enemy over our lives. And he's given us the keys to the kingdom. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing. You guys came up here and you had pain in your body, right? Right? Where's that at right now? You guys feeling anything different? Same? Is it getting worse? If it's getting worse, we need to maybe do something with this square. I don't know. Are you guys, okay, so as far as your pain, like if 1 to 10, 10 being horrible, where are you guys at more or less? You're 7. Okay. 7. Okay. Wow. That's pretty high. Everybody else? 5. Okay. 8. Okay. All right. Okay. All I want you to do is you're just going to hang out here. That's all you got to do. You don't even have to, you don't have to do anything. All right. We'll check in with you in a few minutes. So Chile's been going through this really crazy time where agendas from other countries like Venezuela and Cuba are wanting to impose their control over all of Latin America. Starting in October 18th of last year, it was just violence. And what started with rightful things as far as the country needing, you know, justice to be done and to be served. Other people have come in and they've taken that to an extreme. I'm talking about like just burning public buses, transportation, looting supermarkets, burning buildings. I mean, just damaging just whatever they can with this agenda that's in mind. In fact, we had our prophetic conference. We were able to go with Pastor Bracken and Pastor Karen. We're able to go to one of the main places. Danny was there. And just to kind of get a feel, well, things have intensified and they've gotten worse. And I was in the set a store in a supermarket, and I was just buying some stuff, and I ran into this businessman, and he's asking him how things were. I mean, there's layoffs that are happening. There's all this kind of stuff that's taking place, and it's just, it all seems to be centered, at least in Santiago, in the capital city, in this main plaza. And it just, that's like the focal point of where all this just basically kind of goes out. And then you have the cities that are bordering up with Peru and Bolivia. And as well, just burning and just mayhem and just destruction. And so I'm talking to this guy, and he's a businessman, and we're saying, hey, how are things going and all that? And he's like, he just couldn't get out of the country fast enough. And he's like, what are you going to do? I'm like, oh, I'm staying here. You know, I'm staying here. Ran into another businessman, same thing. He wasn't leaving, but he's like, I bet you guys are wanting to leave Chile. I said, oh, no, I don't think so. And he's like, what do you know that I don't know? And I quoted Bruce Lee to him. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But he says, if you find yourself surrounded in a room surrounded by your enemies, close the door. Because it's not you surrounded by them, it's them locked in the room with you. And so I told that to this businessman. He just kind of looked at me like, okay, you know, and went on. So then we were just praying that the church in Chile would unite and would come together. We had a wonderful, wonderful time in Viña with different churches coming together. We didn't organize, we were participating in this. beautiful. Jesus was exalted. Prayers were done in faith. It was a beautiful moment. There was another event that was scheduled, and my wife and I, we decided, you know what, we're going to go. We want to be a part of this. And I went there, and I was just absolutely just grieved afterwards, and I realized afterwards why I was grieved, and it was that it was more of a talent show than anything else. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, we're in trouble. It was more, here's this church choir, here's this, look at this, whatever, pat ourselves on the back. And I'm thinking, we have demonic, rampant witchcraft taking place in the city, and we're having a talent show. I'm like, we're somewhere there's a huge disconnect. And I said, God, you got to teach me how to see and how to pray and understand what is happening, because there's a big disconnect. In this plaza, in this main place, there's drugs. I mean, they're just stoned out of their mind. They're drunk. There's filth. It's disgusting. It's just violence. There's kids that are just in the midst of all this too. 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds. And it's a horrible, horrible thing. And I'm like, and here we are in this moment where we can actually pray and intercede for the church and for the country. And we're doing this little talent show. I'm like, this something's wrong. So I just started praying. I'm like, God, you got to teach me how to exercise authority and dominion, because that's what we're called to. See, I was talking to some people, and they're saying, well, you know, the Antichrist and the end of the world and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? It's just like, just kind of hunker down and just kind of hope for the best and just ride this wave, and hopefully Jesus will come before we crash into something. You know what I mean? I'm just like, it just didn't sit well with me. I mean, I look from Genesis to Revelation. We're called to have dominion and exercise dominion. We're called to be a kingdom and priests. I mean, for crying out loud, we're going to reign, co-reign with Christ over nations. We're going to judge angels. And I'm supposed to just cower away in some little corner and just like, well, hopefully Jesus comes back. So I'm like, I don't think so. I'm not going to do that. So I started praying, and God started bringing up this guy in my mind every time I'd pray. He was a guy that's been kicked out of Bolivia because of his connections with narco traffic, with violence, and he just wants to just incite insurrection. I mean, he just wants to take over, create a civil war, really. Has horrible things that he's done. And I found out that he even has hired warlocks as part of his entourage. And these aren't just, you know, Sabrina the Teenage Witch kind of people. These are people that have, you know, assassinated others, created heart attacks, you know, kind of big things, newspaper type things. And I'm just thinking, like, it just made me really upset. So I'm like, we're the ones that have real power. Amen. These guys are nothing in comparison to Christ. I'm like this isn't fair. So I really started praying. And one day I'm praying, and I just felt like he was like in my scope, just as like a sniper. Every time I'd pray, his face would come into my mind, and I start praying. And one day I'm praying, and I just see all his money getting frozen. I start praying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I freeze his assets. And I just start praying, just really intense. And the next day comes out in the news, this lady, the only place that has accepted him right now is Argentina. For some reason, they've given him, probably because he's paying them millions of dollars to be able to give him asylum. There's an international warrant for his arrest. And he was wanting to come to Chile to create this whole big meeting thing. And I'm like, you will not come to Chile, you know. I really didn't want to share this part, and I feel like the Lord was telling me to do it, so I'm just doing it out of obedience. But I started going, like, I am the governor in this place. I don't remember giving you permission to come into this place. You will not come into Chile, and you will not do what you think you're going to do, okay? So he never came in. The next day, I pray, it freezes assets. I'm like, I'm just praying intense. Holy Spirit's showing. Next day, they catch this woman going from Bolivia to Argentina with over $100,000 cash on her, going exactly to this man. And I find out that he's wanting to do this event in a stadium for 48,000 people in Argentina on the 22nd of January. And I'm like, oh, I don't think so. No, we're not having that. Because he's wanting to create this whole insurrection. He's wanting to raise people up. Just kill, you know, it's taken to a really bad place. I'm like, this will not happen. I tell a few people that are trusted leaders, I'm saying, this is what we're going to pray. We're praying that this is just, it will not happen. It just isn't going to happen. So we start praying, and you know what? It doesn't happen. He has to go to a smaller venue, and I couldn't find out even the numbers of I couldn't find the place. I couldn't find any information, but I'm his worst nightmare right now. He doesn't know it, but I'm his worst nightmare. So the next thing we start praying, and this is what we're praying right now, is that he's going to get arrested. It's just what's going to happen. He's on his way to Cuba, and I'm just like, well, you know, you can try to run, but you're not going to hide. This is what's going to happen. Beginning to understand that as the church, we need to understand what our role is. You have to understand, when you get a prophetic word this weekend, it's not about giving you little goosebumps and making you feel good. It's to give you weapons. The Holy Spirit is teaching you how to battle. He's giving you the vocabulary and the words that you need to speak to combat the darkness that's in your life and what surrounds you. So maybe he'll speak something about blessing in your finances. Begin to speak those words, because what you're doing is fighting against darkness itself, and you're establishing that. Light is stronger and more powerful than darkness. Can we agree to that? And so we begin to come into agreement with what the Father is saying, and we establish his kingdom. And it's not just hopefully this works kind of a prayer. It's like, this is how things are going to work. This is what's going to happen here in this place. It's coming to my own family saying, family, this is what's going to begin to happen. In my house, this is how things work. In my city, this is how it's going to be. In my future, this is what's going to happen. And I use the words that he gives me, because he's teaching me how to fight, how to speak, how to exercise authority and dominion. And I use the very words that he gives me. That's what he's doing. That's what the prophetic word is for. He's teaching you the language that you need to learn to speak, to enter in to what God has for you. And it will not happen any other way. You can get the best prophetic word, but if you're saying everything opposite to that, it's not going to happen. Come into agreement with the light. Come into agreement with what the Father is saying. Fight the darkness. So I started praying. And I'm like, God, I've been praying for this plaza. God has given me different, I don't even know how to explain it. I don't even know if I can call them visions. I had this picture and I saw the principality that's over that area. You know when there's a principality, because it affects how people speak. You know, sin has a logic and has a language. When you hear people talk, I'm like, oh, I know exactly who's influencing. We had one person from our church that was participating in all these protests, and he came home and the Holy Spirit just shook him to the core and said, you will not go back out there. That's a principalities, powers. In fact, his house was close by, and then the Lord's telling him to sell it, and he's just to get out of there. Just arrested him. He hadn't been to church for a few weeks. He started going to church. God just really shook him to the core. So I saw this thing. It was just filthy. Could almost smell vomit. It's just, I just can't even explain it. It's just gross. And behind him, I see an angel that shows up with a sword in his hand. Not Jesus, an angel. And the angel is huge in comparison to this thing. I mean, it's just no match. This principality and power doesn't even know the angel's behind him. He's just feeding off of everything that's happening there. The more they do this, like he's just relishing it, just feeding off of this. Behind them, this angel with this sword, and the principality and power is not even aware it's there. And I'm like, okay, God. Let's just slice and dice right now. Let's just deal with this. So I started praying, and I'm like, nothing. It just seems like every week, even today, I'm just looking, stuff going on every Friday. They're there doing stuff. I'm like, God, what's the deal with this? He spoke to my heart. He says, there's a few principalities. It's a few demons that are missing from your room. As soon as that room gets a little more crowded, you've got the key. You're going to close the door. You're going to lock the door. Throw away the key. And it's done. And it's done. That's exactly how Jesus works. He doesn't skirt around darkness. He goes right up to it and looks it in the eye and says, your time is done. He put everybody on notice when he goes there. Every principality and power knows he's the rightful king and the rightful owner. And he's just letting them know. Hey, I'm just letting you know. He's not even at the cross yet. He's just like, I'm just letting you know. Your time's up. And then Paul tells us that this is what he does. That he exhibits them. This is in Colossians. He embarrasses them. He rubs it. He humiliates them before all the eyes of the universe. Nature itself knows who is Christ, who Christ is, knows who is in control. He absolutely, he doesn't just defeat him, there it is. He rubbed it in their faces. He just let them know. He broke them psychologically. He just did warfare on them and just like broke them absolutely and rubbed it in their face. And that's exactly what he wants to do this weekend. Every word you receive is just something more in your quiver. It's just something more to just walk around with, and you will defeat the enemy. What God wants to do, it's in and through you. It's going to affect entire regions. It's going to affect the nation. Let me tell you something. Your prayers, there was a time where governments feared the prayers of the church. There was a time when the church prayed, they were like, oh no, we're in trouble now. That time's coming back. It's right now. It's right now. There will be things that you will decree from this very place, from your new place, that will affect the course of the entire nation, that will affect the finances of entire nation, that will actually ward off the intent of the enemy. It will. It's just already happening. But it'll just be a common thing. When you guys get together to pray, just things will happen. Things will break open like never before. There's an open heaven. Everywhere you go, there's an open heaven. And it's time for us to actually step in to what Christ has called us to be. We don't cower. We're not of those who run away. We're of those who run right into the valley. We face whatever is there, knowing that he who is in us is greater than he that is in the world, knowing that he who has united himself to Christ is one spirit with him, knowing that nothing is impossible for him who believes. Come on, we already walk in knowing who's going to win. It's just not even a fair thing almost. And our part is just simply to worship and exalt Christ. And then from that place, we begin to declare and things begin to happen and to break in the name of Jesus. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet for a moment? You guys can just say it right here. I just want you right now, just begin to raise your voice, begin to proclaim right now. You begin to prophesy. You begin to speak. Every spirit of fear is going to go right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hey. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Come on, begin to prophesy over your family right now. Prophesy over your marriage. Prophesy over your finances. Your family, your future. You will never be the same. You will never be the same. In the name of Jesus, release it. Even those watching over the internet right now, I want you to participate with what's happening right now. This is for you. This is for you. We worship you. We exalt you. You are King. You rule in this place. There is no one like you. Nothing like you. Oh, the enemy is beneath my my feet. I speak freedom right now in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of torment, be gone now in Jesus' name. To your mind, be loosed in the name of Jesus. Hey, come on, if you're in pain right now, just put your hand on your heart right now. In the name of Jesus. Every spirit of infirmity, every sickness, every pain will go now in Jesus' name. Bye. You're gone. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
See a vision again that the Lord showed me years ago when we first came here. The valley was filled with dry bones, like in Ezekiel. And the prophetic word came through the prophet, God speaking, can these bones live? And the prophet said, you know, Lord, you know. He said, prophesy to these bones. He prophesied. Bones began to come together. The bones are a picture of a curse upon Israel. Being on top of the ground and very dry, a picture of something that's not only been cursed, but shame, and for a long time. And yet through the prophetic word, bones began to come together. Joints began to come together. And he prophesied flesh upon it by the word of the Lord. And he prophesied the breath to fill these and what stood before the Lord. It was an exceedingly vast army. And I remind you by the word of the Lord that God is raising up a people. God is raising up a church out of the midst of this valley that has been at times filled with dry bones, lethargy, apathy, and even an identity theft. People walking far beneath their God-given, blood-bought right and dominion. But the hour has come, and now is, when the Father is seeking worshipers that would worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I'm bringing together a mighty army, not only in this place, but also in others. I'm bringing together a mighty army of intercessors and those who would prophesy my will. I'm bringing together, I'm raising up a church. I'm raising up a people who would prophesy to the breath, a people who would speak forth and declare and demonstrate the glory of God in the midst of a crooked and a depraved generation. I'm raising up a people who are called out of darkness into the marvelous light, a people who know their God doing great and mighty exploits. I'm raising up an army, says the Lord. Come on, lift your hands. I am commissioning those. I am commissioning those in the fog, and the apathy is being wiped away. I'm opening up your eyes to the truth in the hour in which you live and the power that I've purchased for you, says the Lord. Be in power tonight. Be in power tonight by my Spirit, says the Lord. Go and do likewise. Cast out devils. Heal the sick. Set the captives free. I've called you for such an hour and for such a time as this. Don't shrink back. Rise up, my beloved. 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 Rise up. Come on, lift your voice. Come on.
Right now, put your eyes on your hands, Father. Your hands on your eyes. New vision like we've never seen before. To see in the Spirit like we've never seen before. Greater authority. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. All right, how are you guys doing right here? Change it. You feel okay? Better? I'm sorry. You don't have the pain. So you had pain before. It's amazing. How about you? Awesome. 3. All right, where were you at before? 7. Okay. Listen, this is what I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to do. The reason why I had this is just simply to demonstrate something. I didn't even have to pray, Riddler. I just simply established in my own heart that those who were in this area were just going to get healed, period. I mean, it just didn't matter what they had. It didn't matter what the pain was. It just doesn't matter. Because Jesus is King. That's just it. So those that are sitting, I mean, there's no option. I'm sorry, but that's just what's going to happen. And what I felt is that even as the weekend progresses, this thing's going to get more intense. Let's get more intense. Because I feel like the Holy Spirit's wanting to open our eyes to something of what we can do outside these four walls. Of how we can go to our businesses, we can go to Fred Meyer's, whatever, and that we can bring the kingdom of God right there in that place. Whether people believe or don't believe, whether they know or they don't know, it's absolutely irrelevant. Because wherever we go, it's an open heaven. We are portals of heaven. Angels ascend and descend where we go. It just is. It's just a fact. I don't know if you knew that. But you are in Christ, and Christ is the anointed one. You are anointed in him. He's the anointed one. It just is. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. That same power that raised Christ from the dead operates through those who believe, and you and I are of those who believe. It's just a fact. It just simply is. But God wants to open our mind to what's possible outside the four walls. I don't even have to say anything, but just by being there, stuff will happen. It just is. I'm sorry. Demons will manifest. It just happens. Because of who we are in our position in Christ. And it's time that we do that. It's time that we do that. Father, right now, we just seal that. If you're in sickness, just put your hand on your heart one last time. And I speak to every circumstance here. In fact, if you have a loved one, right after we pray, you call them, you text them right now. You hold your phone right now. This is a point of contact of faith right now. In the name of Jesus, every pain, every sickness, every spirit of sickness, even those watching over the internet, this is for you right now. Holy Spirit is touching you right now. Go right now in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. We exercise dominion. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, you can partner with us and give at kcalaska.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and enjoy more messages like this one.